good to be here. Say good morning to you all. I was blessed by the service thus far, and they sat in a Sunday school class and think about what all you should have said and what all you should have offered, but how it is, it seems like when the ministers talk a lot that everybody else doesn't, so the ministers... I feel it's needful to allow other people to talk. I appreciated that very much, that song, Faithful Men. And in fact, that's the theme of my sermon this morning, Faithful Men. Godly leadership and the law of sowing and reaping. I'd like you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. I suppose you'll know that I'm hung up on this passage of Scripture. I think I expounded on it about the third time, but I won't spend a lot of time here today. I see a very good correlation between leadership and this principle that's in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Probably no place is the role of sowing and reaping more prominent, more evident than in leadership roles. And today I want to preach to the men. I trust the ladies won't all go to sleep, but nevertheless, I think it's very important that this principle is understood by our men. There is one seeding time. There is one chance with your family. There is one chance for we as ministers. There is one seeding time. And indeed, there is one harvest. There is one harvest. And what will that harvest be? It says here that you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption, and if you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. And who doesn't want life everlasting? Who doesn't want life everlasting? This is an irrevocable principle, a timeless principle. Of what you sow is what you will reap. Many groups have tried to get around this law. Many individuals have tried to get around this law, but it is an irrevocable, all-inclusive law. And when I look across our Mennonite churches and fellowships, I see, as a leader, I see many successes and failures in families, on school boards, in church leadership, and many other places that we are involved in. Churches that have a failure in leadership is a troubled church. And a church that has a failure in the home and leadership is a troubled home. It's all about you, man. I'm going to lay the accountability right at your feet. And I'm sure I don't have all the answers. But I have been around enough that I feel it's worthy of a message of admonition to men to be leaders. I know it's not Father's Day today. It's a long ways from Father's Day. Father's Day's been a while ago. But I feel this is very important. We see homes. We see fellowships. We see people with emotional distress. Ladies on Xanax and antidepressants. A lot of times it's because the leader in the home is not leading. And I was just made aware of that just this week, and I a man whom I really enjoy and trust, but he seems to be missing it in his home, and his wife and family are not at rest, and so it is a big deal this morning. When I was a young man, I was out. I hooked up the sprayer one day, and then I couldn't find the pin. And so I hooked everything else up, the hoses and the PTO and so forth, and went to find the pin. Well, in the meantime, somebody else came and took off of the sprayer, and there was no pin. And, of course, that made a big mess. Sprayer was, you know, the PTO was pulled apart, and the hoses were pulled out, and, you know, it made a big mess. The sprayer was down on the ground. That's very much like it is when men don't assume their leadership role in the home and in the church. Somebody takes off with the sprayer and makes a big mess. So listen up this morning. I have four words that should define our leadership. Number one, vision. Vision. A leader must know where he is going. You young men that are not married yet, you need to know where you're going. You men that are married for a while, you need to know where you're going. It is imperative that church leaders know where they're going. You have a vision of destiny. Out there somewhere is a destiny that you want to get to, and that you are willing to lay everything down, all your priorities, to make it to that destiny, and that those you lead will also make it. I would like to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Go with me there. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. And this is just a place in the Bible where this valuable principle of vision is clearly portrayed. Paul and Timotheus, Philippians 1 and chapter 1, the servants of Jesus Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Here's leadership. Paul and Timothy, they were servants. That, by the way, men, as you lead, you must see yourself as servants to Jesus Christ. It's going to come out again and again. But with all the bishops, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how that brings us to rest as a church. When leadership is there, grace, peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank may God upon every remembrance of you. This is a leader writing to his people. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Then verse 6 is the clincher. This is the end of the vision. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It ought to be the goal and the vision of every leader that his people, his family, his church makes it to the day of Jesus Christ. Spotless and pure. A lot of us had Christian parents that followed the Mennonite way of life and practice. The Mennonite church certainly has a great heritage. rich in biblical application, Thanksgiving season, y'all ought to thank the Lord for that heritage, those of us who have enjoyed that. It has a rich biblical heritage and biblical application to principle. We thank the Lord for that. Sadly enough, though, being a Mennonite is not enough. Being a Mennonite is not enough. Remember the prophet Eli. Eli was a man of God, and he had an anointing of God that he would be the priest forever, and the priest and his family would be priests forever in Israel. But his boys were bad. His boys were bad. They robbed the church. They robbed the church people as they brought their sacrifices to be offered at the tabernacle. And Eli, a great leader, man of God that he was, he kind of, I guess it'll get better. I'm not going to say too much. He knew the right things, and these boys surely went to the right church. They went to the right church. They knew a lot of good. They knew the right things. But there's a sad commentary in 1 Samuel 3 in verse 13. And these are God's words to Eli. For I have told them, and I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Eli, you knew this was going on. You knew these boys were bad. And then it goes on and gives the verdict of God. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Eli was judged because of his casual leadership. I just hope it gets better. These boys will surely see that it's not quite the right thing to do in this church. But Eli was sowed the seed of casual leadership and reaped the seed of God's judgment on his casual leadership. Casual leadership, my friends, brethren, men, does not do it. You have to be active. You have to have that vision firmly planted in your mind, and that you are going to get to that vision. We cannot take a casual approach to leadership that we are called to. Vision. If you have the vision of godly leadership, it embraces your responsibilities. Many of us shrink from that responsibility. We wish we wouldn't have it almost. But nevertheless, when God calls you to leadership, whether you be a bishop, a minister, a deacon, a father, or a school board member, a trustee board, you have a responsibility that's been given to you by God. And the vision that you have is very important for you accomplishing that goal. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5 in verses 2 and 3. Here, Peter was giving some admonition for leadership. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Dear brethren, I'm asking you, I think this might have been written to church leaders, but he says, feed the flock. You're a leader in your home. You are going to be a leader in your home. Feed the flock. Your flock is your family. Feed the flock, which is among you. The ones you have been are responsible for, feed the flock. Take the oversight thereof. Lead them. Don't be like Eli. Oh, well, lead them. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not by, oh, yeah, I just have to do this, but willingly, and do it with a ready mind. Do it with a ready mind. Then verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, one of these times, the chief shepherd shall appear, and ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And it's all up to you whether you took your responsibility as a leader, what your answer is going to be on that day, what your fate is going to be on that day. If you have a clear vision of your leadership, everything conforms, all of life to one singular goal, and that overrides other goals, and that's you're going to lead your family, you're going to lead your church, you're going to lead your people. No matter how prosperous your farm, your business, your concrete business, your building business, whatever it is, and there's opportunities to buy another van, there's opportunities to build another barn. If it's going to hinder your leadership of your flock, think again. Think again. It must override all other goals. Life is a priority list. We need to make a living. We need to buy a car. We need to have a place to live. We need to fix the roof on the house. Those are all priorities. But on the top of the priority list is your leadership of your flock. Your leadership of your flock. And that means so many things. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 14 and following through 18. I like this passage of scripture. Almost use it for the text. Verse 14, I would like everyone here that has her Bible to turn to that and read this with me. Let's stay engaged. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. There is a blessing in godly leadership. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, those that pay attention to the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. What a principle there is there. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee light unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The word perish there means made naked. Our people, our family, without correction, without discipline, without admonition, they become vulnerable, even though they like it. But the leader in the home and in the church has the vision, and he sees more than the current circumstance and conforms the current circumstance to the vision he has for his family. My dad, you know, I talked to him about a lot of things. One time I had an intense conversation. I thought he ought to let me play Little League baseball. It's in third grade in public school, and he wouldn't bend. He wouldn't bend. We don't play Little League baseball. I thought it seemed so right that I could go with my friends to play Little League baseball, and he said no. And he offered a number of reasons. You see, I would have been vulnerable if I could have followed my way and played Little League baseball, but he had a vision. For my life. And Little League baseball didn't fit. Vision takes the steps to protect the flock, your children, where they are vulnerable. Men of vision are willing to make the hard calls. Men of vision are willing to make the hard calls, even when he was sandwiched between what the flock wants and what it really needs. Men of vision are willing to make the hard calls when you are sandwiched between what the flock wants and what it really needs. So the flock wanted Little League baseball. Man of vision said no. No. And I would like to say something else about families that have a dad that have a vision for his leadership. When he says no, that brings security. It says here, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. A family that has order, that the dad takes his place in leading out, and has order, and there's law, it's conformed to the law of God, those families are at rest. And the families that the dad doesn't take his place, they're a family out at sea and troubled. I could prove this from scripture all over the place, but take it from a little bit of experience in viewing leadership, and it's so true in 2018, time after time. That when a man has vision and all his priorities are geared toward this vision, and he leads his family in such a way, there's a blessing and happiness in that family, even though circumstances, you know, we're challenged in circumstances many times. You know, can I go play Little League Baseball? Can I go do this and that? Can I wear this sweater? Can I have my covering like this? Can I stay out after midnight? Can I do this? Everybody else does. When Dad says, no, realize that's a blessing from God, and it'll bring you to rest. One has to think of the old verse, there is a way that seemeth right. But the end thereof is destruction. It can seem so right. It can seem so right. Well, when a leader has that clear vision, and he says no, it's a blessing from God. The tough demands of leadership require those gut-wrenching decisions that where there's a difference between pleasing people or seeing their vulnerability. That is the call of you men to lead. Is your family going to be vulnerable? These that are decisions, I'll admit, that bring sleepless nights. And often short-term criticism from the very people that are following you. When the vision is clear in our mind and is the overarching priority that supersedes any other priority, our people will be at rest. And it needs to come down into very practical ways. It needs to be in our mind when we discipline our two-year-old for running around after church. It can be embarrassing. Oh, sure, we're all embarrassed when our children don't behave. But men of vision realize that the temporary anger that flares up when your child is misbehaving needs to be diminished and taken care of before you discipline that child. But on your way up the aisle to catch that child, think about the vision. What is important to this child? Being reverent in the church, loving the things of God, or just being disobedient and a terror after church and hoping that, oh well, it's going to go away. There's probably nothing that tears up leadership, the emotions of leadership, more than when they need to make decisions that affect people. I remember being on the school board. I probably told you this before. Get about this time of the year and you get 4 or 5 inches of snow in the morning. You get in a pickup and you drive up and down the road and, should we have school or shouldn't we have school? You call the rest of the school board members and they say, well, it is pretty snowy out, but really, it's your call. It's your call. So it comes right back to leadership. It's our call whether there's too much snow on the road to have school. You have the one bunch of patrons that'll say, yeah, if that mother slides in the ditch, it's going to be your fault. It's going to be your call. On the other side, there's a group that says, 4 or 5 inches, when I was a child, that was no problem at all. Have school, you're a bunch of wimps. And you seesaw between those two things. Have school, not have school. Dangerous or a wimp? It comes back to you. It's your call. A leader must make decisions. I remember one night, a lady that Sister Rachel came here to church for a while. You probably remember, and she called me one Monday and she said, "Brother Joe, I'd like to sit down and talk to you." And I said, "Sure." So we made an arrangement at 7:30 that evening, Monday evening, we'd meet. And she said, "You preached about something yesterday in your sermon that just made me wonder what you really believe." And said, she said, "Let me explain my situation." So I said, "Go ahead." And she said, "Well, you talked about divorce and remarriage." And I hadn't preached on that, just that, but I had mentioned it some casually or kind of offhandedly. And she says, what do you really believe? Because I have been divorced and remarried." And I said, yeah. God makes a way. You know, you kind of stumble and, you know, pray. God would give you words, I said, "God, what should I do?" It would have been easy to say, "Oh, that's not such a big deal." But the Word of God said that, you know, you can't be divorced and remarried. That's sin. That's adultery. That's people that are in the lake of fire. You need to be very clear. And so I went to the Word and I just read the Word of God. Read Mark 10, Matthew 5, Matthew 19, Romans 7, 1 Corinthians 7. All those passages of Scripture that relate to marriage or teach principles about marriage and divorce. And Rachel said after we read that, I hastened to say that I was not so smart. I was just God, the Holy Spirit was leading me that to those passages of Scripture. And Rachel said, it's very clear what I should do. She said, I should we should separate from my husband. And she was very sorry that the Word of God and her life is contradicting each other. And she said, "Brother Joe, could I do this one thing yet? Could I bring my current husband and have him talk to you?" And so, yeah, I said, "Surely." We made arrangements for him to come out Tuesday night. And I remember, I suppose some of you remember Big Jim, an imposing man for sure, about 6'5". And hairstyle to go with it and everything. And he sat there in a recliner in the living room, and Rachel says, "Well, explain to Jim what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage." So I again went through the scriptures, and she said, and he she again said, "Well, it's evident what I need to do." And he sat there looking at me with a glare in his eye. And finally, after I'd read a number of scriptures, he pointed his finger right at my face, right at my nose, got fairly close. And he said, "Preacher, you stop talking." And so I did. That might be an extreme case, but a leader has to make the call, has to say what the Word of God says. They left that room that night with tears in their eyes, contemplating what the next step was for their life, because they now knew the Word of God had spoken. Leadership needs to make decisions that affect people's lives. One can only look at the scriptures. I thought about the case in Judges when there was no king in Israel. And there was at a period of time when there was no judge in Israel. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes, and the chaos that was resulting from that. Men, women, children were being offered up. There was just a mess in Israel. Tonight, today, I just want to ask you men. I didn't get very far in this message. We need to close. It's time for the chorus to go. But take your leadership role seriously. Have that clear vision. I have three more points that I should talk about. Maybe I will later, but future sermon. But nevertheless, men with vision that clearly see Jesus coming, and that his children, his people, his flock are going to rise to meet him. That certainly is a big deal. Let's pray.